Welcome to Spotlight on Africa with me, Daniel Finnan. This week, we'll be hearing about the economy in Tunisia. It's important because a lack of jobs and high prices were one of the reasons for the uprising in 2011, the start of the so-called Arab Spring. Last week, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD, launched its first economic survey of Tunisia since the toppling of President Ben Ali. The international economic body of mainly rich countries wants to see a boost in investment in Tunisia, and it thinks the government should make it easier to do business. The OECD believes that this will make life better for Tunisians and help create more jobs. We spoke to their top economist to find out more. Welcome to Alvaro Pereira, the OECD acting chief economist. How much has changed in terms of the economy since the uprising in Tunisia, the so-called Jasmine Revolution?
The Tunisian economy has changed, and the society as well, changed quite substantially in the last few years. We, in our first report of the OECD about Tunisia, we praised the Tunisian authorities, first of all, in terms of the big changes in terms of political transition and the accomplishments of the Tunisian people. But it's true that in the last few years, even preceding the revolution, there are some issues that needed to be solved, and I think they are getting more pressing every minute. First of all, we have a sensitive and difficult fiscal situation. We have a sensitive and difficult current account deficit. And on the other hand, we have problems of competitiveness that needs to be addressed.
Because unemployment and inflation, they were two of the key elements that led to protests back in 2011.
Absolutely. Well, we say this in the report, job creation should be the top priority. And in order to have more job creation, you need to create the conditions for it to happen, in part by boosting and facilitating investment. Just to give an idea, our report shows very clearly that more than 50 countries that we follow, Tunisia, in terms of barriers to entrepreneurship, has the highest barriers. In terms of complexity of legislation, has the highest barriers to legislation and complexity of legislation. And so we believe that you need to work on this, bring down the obstacles and the barriers to entrepreneurship, the need to bring down the complexity of their regulations so that you boost investment. That's the first thing to do. The second one is to work on competition. There's sectors in which they are still close to competition, or at least there is some rent-seeking behavior. There's some monopolies and oligopolies that need to be open to competition. When you open to competition, you create jobs. And this is, as I said, should be the top priority for the next few years.
Your report says that there's been a reduction in poverty, but not in the creation of new jobs. Now, how's that possible?
Well, poverty has declined quite substantially. In fact, if you compare Tunisia with countries like Indonesia and India and many other emerging market economies, poverty has come down quite dramatically. And in fact, one of the conquests of revolution has been exactly to help some of the poorest parts of the society and to make growth more inclusive. Having said that, you know, a lot of people, especially young people, don't have jobs. And so they are able to either work in the informal sector, which is fairly large in Tunisia, which is between 30 and 45% of the population. You don't see them in statistics, even though they're working. And obviously by using cultural and family links that allow them to maintain their standards of living.
Now, tourism is an important part of the economy in Tunisia. Have tourists returned to the country after the terrorist attacks of 2015?
Tourism is starting to grow fairly significantly in Tunisia, and we believe that the secure situation, which has improved dramatically in the last few months, continues to go this way. We believe that the potential for tourism to continue to grow very dramatically will continue in the next few months and years. But this is why we believe this is a great opportunity for the government to open up more of the sector, liberalize the sector, and facilitate the investment in tourism to create more jobs and to decrease regional inequalities.
The budget this year, now that increased taxation, isn't this making it even harder for Tunisians?
Well, we know that one of the crucial challenges that Tunisia has is what it's called a twin deficit. So we have a very large current account deficit at the same time that you have also a significantly large government deficit. You know, this needs to be addressed. There's no question about that. The question is, how do you do it and the speed that you do it? We believe that the best way to do it is to be fiscally prudent at the same time, so you don't do a really radical consolidation, which I think is counterproductive. But you need to be fiscally prudent at the same time that you do reform. So we calculated in our report, we do a debt sustainability analysis that shows very clearly that the situation of the debt and the deficit by per consequence will improve dramatically if there is fiscal prudence at the same time that you boost competition and, as I said, release the untapped potential for investment, which will create more jobs and more growth, which will help the debt situation at the same time.
Just how much debt is the Tunisian government in? How does it compare with other countries?
Tunisia debt is moderate right now, but the question is whether or not how fast it will grow. The best way, as I said, to address this issue is exactly by being fiscally prudent and do the reforms. Because if you are fiscally prudent, you will be able to control your spending. On the other hand, if you do the reforms, this will boost growth, which will help the debt-to-GDP ratio.
How's the crisis in Libya affecting Tunisia's economy?
It affected quite significantly because not only there was a large inflow of people that came from Libya, but also affected investment and trade between the countries. We do see, if you want to use this in economic jargon, we do see Libya as an upside risk for Tunisia, which means if the situation continues to stabilize, this will have a very positive impact on the neighboring country that is Tunisia.
A new law on foreign investment was approved in 2016. Now, what difference has this made?
Well, the law is a good law, and we like what we see there. The question is, just because you pass a law doesn't mean that you have a reform. In order to have the reform, you need to pass the secondary regulations. You need to be sure that the public administration is implementing this legislation. The government is promising to have a negative list of all the investments that are withheld by the administration and try to speed up these investments. Well, this is the sort of implementation that is crucial in the next few years. Implement the law, make sure that what backlog you have in terms of investment is eliminated, and especially, and this is what we argue in the report, dramatically simplify licensing. Licensing and registering a company in this country is still extremely difficult, and this is punishing the Tunisian economy in terms of investments. This is a good way to untap the potential of this country.
You predict that economic growth will speed up from this year into 2019, and that this will be led by business investment. Exactly what type of businesses are we talking about?
Well, we do predict that growth will be much healthier this year and the next. This year we are forecasting 2.8%, next year 3.4%, and is the engines of growth are healthy ones, which are investment and exports. The investment that we are envisaging are very often related to exports, but in several sectors, from manufacturing to the agricultural sector to also to the resource sector, we believe that investment is picking up. In fact, this is a trend that is taking place all over the world. For the first time since the financial crisis is over, we see investment coming back to Europe. We see investment coming back to North America. And even in countries like India, we see investment coming back. And this is going to help countries like Tunisia to export more and to, in turn, to have more investment as well.
Is this current government in Tunisia really capable of turning things around? Because some Tunisians might say that not much has really changed since the so-called Arab Spring.
We see some reforms that are being undertaken right now, and I believe that this government is undertaking courageous reforms that need to be nourished and they need to be supported, not only by Tunisians, but also by the international community. It's crucial, I think, for the international community that Tunisia is successful, and this is why I think this wave of reforms is so important. But again, cannot stop in this wave of reforms. You need to have, I insist, reforms on investment and competition to have more growth and jobs.
Thank you to Alvaro Pereira, the OECD's acting chief economist, joining us on the line there from Tunis.
Thank you.
That's it for this week's Spotlight on Africa. From me, Daniel Finnan, thanks for listening.